Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, the Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana Elbay. And I'm sorry, but last night's broadcast didn't go so well, so I'm forced to redo this thing so that you can actually hear what I'm trying to give you. The importance of creating your own college curriculum on knowledge of self. Now, we will be answering the following questions. Where did your family originate on earth? Who controls your thinking in your house? What is a federally recognized tribe? What is that? Who is supposed to educate you? Where did your name come from? Where did your family come from? What does the word aboriginal mean? Now, these are just a few of the questions that we're going to deal with here this evening. And what I want to do before we get down into the broadcast, before I even run any commercials or anything else, I want you to go ahead and get you a paper and pencil handy, because what I'm going to do is give you access to a video that I need you to go and watch. And I'm going to give you a list of books. Now, the book list that I'm going to give you is all inclusive in the video that I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you the video right now because I want you to listen to this podcast. And during this podcast, I'm going to give you access to that video so you can go ahead on and get this stuff for yourself, man, and see it with your own eyes. Okay? See, having facts is one thing. It's a wonderful thing, but in every fact that you have, you need to verify the fact, and after the verification of the fact is done, then you need to locate the truth to attach to the fact that you got. See, just having facts, you can run facts off all day long. A lot of people can't do nothing with facts, but you want to have truth attached to those facts. And in order to do that, you want to investigate everything. You don't want to leave no stones unturned, especially when you're talking about nations of people and moving whole continents. And that's what we're going to deal with right now. But anyway, this is a glimpse of the books that I want you to write down on your paper. Number one. In the Land of Caves and Cliff Dwellers by Lieutenant Frederick Swastika. The American Indian by Elijah M. Haynes, 1888. The next book is United States Exploring Expedition, 1810, 1841, 1842, 1838, and 1839. The next book is 500 Nations by Alvin M. Josephy, Jr. 500 Nations by Alvin M. Giuseppe Jr. And there's a whole list of these books here, but keep in mind that, like I already told you, all of these books is inclusive in the video that I want you to watch. Matter of fact, I'm not going to wait till later on to give you access to the video. I'm giving it to you right now. The title of the video, and go right there to YouTube and type this in, Pre-Columbus, Black Nations of America by Kurimayu Ehu. You spell his name K-U-R-I-M-E-O. The last name is spelled A-H-A-U. Pre-Columbus, Black Nations of America. Okay, this is just a small little spidget, and now it's time to go into the broadcast. Of course, you know I always run the commercial first. Hold your hat.
The greatest move you can make beginning in 2022 is to move out of the public and into the private. That's how you get rid of student loans, child support, mortgages, foreclosures, and all this kind of business. Go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out my contact us form by leaving your email address, and I'll rush my free report straight to your email box. Our economy is in shambles today for people who insist on living in the public. Move into the private. Make an easy transaction. Go to www.TahakaDebtElimination.org. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out the contact us form, and I'll rush you my free report.
Okay, everybody, I'm back. Now, let me start out by saying that my position is that I am not an African. I did not, and my family did not, come to this land from a place called Africa. My position is that me and my family and my family's family has always been on this land. Now, if I tell you that there is no record involving me and my family, what I'm saying to you is that there has never been a time in the history of this world where a record was designated and assigned to or created or recorded prior to us coming, during our existence, or any other time in history, unless we put it there. If we didn't put it there, there's no record. Now, to give you an example of what I'm trying to tell you, when you have a child, you go to the hospital, and the child is born, and in the hospital, they create a birth certificate. You know, that's a record. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand is this. We have always been here since the beginning of creation. And what has happened is we have had some people that have come along and got in the wrong place at the right time and start creating records and want the whole world to believe that this is the way it is and this is the way it's always been because we said so, because this is the beginning of our destiny. Well, that's fantastic. It don't have nothing to do with me. But nevertheless, I want you to pay attention to some very, very curious stuff that happened one time. Back in 1958, I love my brother, but I want you to listen to what my brother said. He's dead and gone now. Let's listen to the super fantastic, world-renowned Muhammad Ali. Pay attention.
At the time in 1958, we couldn't eat in the restaurants in Louisville. We couldn't eat down. downtown. One day I saw two Africans go in with their robes and their turbans. They couldn't speak English to her. The man said, let them in, they're not Negroes.
You heard that? Now, for clarity purposes, let's play it again.
One day I saw two Africans go in with their robes and their turbans. They couldn't speak English to her. The man said, let them in, they're not Negroes.
Okay. Now that we heard what he said loud and clear, what could be the reason why Africans would be treated differently than Negroes at that time? If we were taught that Negroes are actually the long-lost descendants of Africans. Think about that.
Okay. There you have it. Now, in case some of y'all are hard of hearing, this is what Muhammad Ali said. He said, we couldn't eat in the restaurants. They didn't want to serve us, they this, that, and the other. But I seen two brothers dressed in the African clothes. They was from Nigeria, and the people tried to discriminate against them. And lo and behold, another man came up and said, no. Let them in. Treat them right. They are not Negroes. Isn't that something? That's amazing. All right, now I'm going to play another plug before we get down to the nitty-gritty. This is your brother, a very prominent actor. His name is Morgan Freeman. Now, everybody don't like everybody, but that's not important here today because the title of the broadcast is The Importance of Creating Your Own College Curriculum. And if you do that, that includes you, your wife, your sister, your brother, your mama, your daddy, your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, and everybody else. That is the legacy that you should leave behind. You know, we run around, well, I'm going to, in my will, I'm going to get my grandson my rims off my Cadillac. Okay, fantastic. But pay attention to what Morgan Freeman has to say.
Black you History Month, you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is Black History Month?
Well,
come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
All right, I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. You understand what I know this white guy named Mike Wallace. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Holidays, has political correctness gone too far? Take a look at this. Hallmark's new holiday sweater ornament uses a lyric from Deck the Halls. Don we now our fun apparel. They have used the word fun to replace the word gay. Critics are calling the move homophobic. Hallmark has apologized, saying it never intended to offend anyone. Is this political correctness gone too far?
Well, doesn't Hallmark make cards?
Yeah, and ornaments.
The problem they got into trouble with.
Yeah, Kevin?
Great.
It doesn't deserve a comment. It's so bizarre, stupid.
What do you guys think about political correctness?
What
do you think, Morgan? Is this political correctness gone too far?
Yeah. I mean, we have a tendency to do that anyway. I mean, you get politically correct. Stuff happens that you don't want to happen. I all of a sudden became an African. Political correctness. African American. I'm not African. An American. I'm not African. An American. I'm not African.
Black
All right, let's stop right there. Now, what is taking place inside the United States is on last week's broadcast, I asked my guest, what is the meaning of manifest destiny? He said he didn't know what that was. Let me explain to you what manifest destiny is. Manifest destiny is a point in time when the so-called powers that be got together and say, look, we're going to have to control this thing. And meaning the United States of America, we have already invaded these people's land. We have murdered, robbed, pillaged, and raped them. And we have lied to them and done all manner of evil toward them. So what we have to do is we're going to have to create our own destiny, which will involve miseducation toward the natives of this land. We're going to have to invest millions of dollars. We're going to have to do some fighting. We're going to have to do some lying. We're going to have to do some stealing. And we're going to have to do some killing in order to create our manifest or manifest our own destiny. And so what we're going to have to do, and the most dangerous part of what we're going to have to do, is the miseducation of the people that are the rightful owners of this land. We're going to have to start at a point in time in our story, and we're going to start at the year 1492. We want everybody in here that don't look like us to come from someplace. We got to create a record. We have to use what's called technology, and we're going to have to invest millions. Every time we dig up something that comes along before 1492, it has to be destroyed. It has to be ridiculed. It has to be put in a box, put in a shelf, dug up the ground, bury it, cover it up, and anything else. We got to burn the books. We got to cook the books. We got to do everything that we can to make sure that these people don't wake up. You can't tell a slave why he is a slave, because if you do that, then he will rebel. And man, we will be in trouble. Manifest destiny is somebody coming somewhere that they don't belong and creating their own destiny through lies, deception, and everything else that's crooked. And maintaining this level of corruption as long as they're here. Now, let's deal with the technology part. And when we deal with that, then I'll be right back and we can continue on down into the broadcast. Make sure you got paper and pencil for this right here. And please pay attention and listen to every word. It doesn't matter if you are a Christian. It don't matter if you're a Muslim. It don't matter about nothing. We're at critical mass right now. And we're in the age of Aquarius, and man, it's finna get hot because we pulling the cover off of all of this crap up in here today. So y'all hold on a minute, and here we go.
Welcome to Real Black Consciousness Forum Podcast. This is Big BJ checking in. Today's conversation, we just gonna talk about technology, right? We're going to have a good time, beloved. We're going to talk about history. We're going to talk about technology, though. You know what I mean? Because, man, I be looking in the comments and I say, you know, these folks, man, they trip our people up. The words, man, that they use, man, the devil. This is a slick guy, man. The devil is a slick guy. You know what I mean? These are slick people, beloved. But, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to clear some things up. How about that, right? So in today's conversation, we're going to talk about Native American tribes, right? We're going to talk about American Indian tribes. We're going to talk about First Americans. And we're going to talk about Aboriginal Americans, right? And, you know, we're going to talk about these groups, and we're going to go back, and we're going to do some research, and we're going to figure out how come so many of these tribes are federally recognized, right? And then how many of these other tribes are not federally recognized? And then we're going to say, well, what's the difference between the two, right? Because, you know, beloved, I encourage my people, right, black folks, the American Negro, out the village, out the camp, out the black community, you want to find yourself, beloved, you got to begin to study these federal tribes that are not recognized. That's the Native American tribes you got to start researching, the ones that are not federally or state recognized, right? And then, you know, once you start doing that, beloved, you'll find yourself and you'll find your people. Because we're going to go over the technology of the enemy, and he play word games with our people, right? So we just going to, you know, we're going to do this, right? How about this? All right, I'm going to give you guys a name or a couple of agencies I want you just to look up. I just want you to look up. I want you to research. And then we're going to just, we're going to talk about terminology, right? How about that, right? Okay, so I want you guys to look up this. The National Historic Preservation Act of 1966, right? Because that's, they have a guide, and we're going to use that guide for today's conversation, right? The National Historic Preservation Act of 1966, that's coming out of LBJ's program, right? NHPA. And then I want you guys to take a look at the Bureau of Indian Affairs from 1824, right? And I want you to take a look at both of them. The terminology that we're going to use today is the term Indian tribe, right? What does that mean, right? What is the good working definition of that term? We're going to say later what it really means, but we're just going to use the legal definition of that term. When the United States government says Indian tribe, what do they mean? And then we're going to have a, you know, we're going to have that conversation, right? It should be understood at the outset that the term, quote unquote, Indian tribe is defined in the NHPA as an Indian tribe, band, nation, or other organized group or community, including a native village, regional corporation, or village corporation that is recognized as eligible for special programs and services by the United States to Indians because of their status as an Indian, right? All right, so that is the legal working definition of Indian tribe, okay? Therefore, the term Indian tribe refers to a federally recognized Indian tribes, plural. The federal government has a unique political and legal relationship with Indian tribes not shared by non-federally recognized tribes. The federal government has a trust responsibility to Indian tribes that it does not have with non-federally recognized tribes. And the federal government works with Indian tribes on a nation-to-nation basis, but does not do so with any other indigenous groups, including NHOs, right? So we're going to skip down because we're reading off the guide. We're going to skip down to the last sentence in the next paragraph. And it says, many Indian tribes have strong and long-standing relationships as well as kinship ties with non-federally recognized tribes and recognize them as tribes. All right, let's stop. I want you guys to put a pen on it. You know what I'm talking about? Take that highlighter. Go ahead and hit it with the highlighter, right? Okay. Now, we kind of got what is a federally recognized tribe, the working definition, out of the way, right? So now we're going to touch in, or we're going to tap into what is a non-federally recognized tribe. We're going to read that working definition, and then we're going to see the difference between the two, right? But I'm going to tell you about black folks before we get even further. I'm going to tell you about I'm going to tell you about our people. I'm going to tell you about the brown man. I'm going to tell you about the red man. And I'm going to tell you about the devil. And I'm going to show you how technology works, right? Beloved, my people, black folks, you can trip us up with words. You know what I mean? And what the devil does when he talks to us, he trips us up with words. He will replace a common word with a different word to trip us up. Because he knows if he just speaks to us in a common tone, we can see the game. He just switched words around. He playing semantics. It's the same thing. But we get confused off the words. So that's why I come on Real Black Consciousness Forum podcast. I talk about people groups. I don't say race. I don't use the term race that much. Oh, the white race. The red race. You know what I mean? The brown race. The black race. I don't use the term race so much because my folks, my people, they don't identify with the word race. Black folks don't get the word race. So what I do is I replace the word race with family because we understand if I say the black family. Because now we can look in the mirror and see the black family. We look in the mirror, we don't see a black race. We look right at our household and we can see the black family. You know what I mean? The word tribe, I've watched us. I watched our people. The word tribe, it throws us off. We don't really get it. That word tribe is like it's, because, what tribe did you come from? Our people be sitting there, goddamn CJ, I don't know my tribe. This is why, right, check this out, beloved. We're just going to talk, right? Check this out. This is why the devil can be amongst our people, and he'll point at a map and say, look, your people come from over here. You belong to an African tribe, right? And then here you is, your black ass from Memphis, some goddamn well, New Orleans, Detroit, you know what I'm saying, Little Rock, St. Louis, somewhere, and you just looking at that map. And then you're trying to see if you fit into an African tribe, right? You know what I'm saying? And then you come and then, you start searching and you find yourself on Real Black Consciousness Forum podcast. And then you already been around the devil. So when you come on this podcast, you start making comments. You start talking about, no, brother, our tribes come from Africa. Our tribes come from Africa. And I'm like, bro, tribe just means family. And I know, your black ass is from Memphis. So I'm like, how did you, you from Atlanta, bro. How are you a part or, point out to me your African family. I changed the word on you. And then you start to, I don't have no family in Africa. Because I know you don't know that family and tribe means the same thing. You see what I mean? They play word games on us. They have always played word games on us. Because these guys, the devil, he like to play big shot. You and I, beloved, since we was no taller than a grasshopper. You know what I mean? We babies. We kids. We youth in the neighborhood. You know what we did to make money? We cut grass. We just cut grass. We took our lawnmowers. We went door to door and we cut grass. You know what the devil called that? He said that was landscaping. So we try to go get certain jobs. He say, man, y'all got some landscaping experience? We like, nah, we ain't never did no landscape. We looking clueless. We don't know. It's the one that's among us with knowledge. You say, no, we do that every day, beloved. That's what, when we cutting grass, he's just using a different word to trip you up. You can go to a job. You're a young teenager. You don't know no better. And the devil will ask our babies, do you guys have a customer service experience? He talking to our babies now. And our babies, they scratching their head. We don't know nothing about no customer service. We never did no customer service. But it takes the person with knowledge to come back and say, listen, beloved, damn near everything that you do in life, beloved, in this country is damn near customer service. If you watch somebody's car before, that's customer service. If you stood on the corner and sold weed, that's customer service. If you just, everything is customer service. But see, the way that this guy play with these words, he trips our people up. Our people outwatch us. We are tripped up over the word tribe. We're tripped up over the word tribe. Your family reunion is your tribal reunion. It's the same thing, but because we watching this guy's idiot box and we in his schools and we reading his books, every time he show us a quote-unquote tribe, it's some people looking primitive, jumping around, dancing around, and you know what I mean? And we just try to, we got that image in our mind, so when he asks us what is our tribe, we act like we don't know. But maybe that's a different story for a different day. How about that? Right? I'm just talking about, so what I wanted to do is, I wanted to give you guys the first definition of a federally recognized tribe, and I wanted to use the tribe throughout the whole thing. And you know what I'm thinking to myself? Man, a lot of our people, they ain't get that first part. Y'all ain't going to get it. Because know what? I was using tribe, tribe, tribe. Now, I'm going to read the second part. I'm going to talk about what is a non-federally recognized tribe, but I'm not going to use the word tribe. I'm going to use the word non-federally recognized family. And watch how you catch the second half, and you probably didn't catch the first half. Now watch how you, because it's going to be different when I use the word family. I'm connecting with my people, right? The term that we're looking for is family. When you hear tribe, I don't care if it's on my podcast or somebody else's podcast, I need you as my people to change that word in your mind to clan or kinfolks or family when you hear tribe. That way you give an answer. What tribe you belong to? You a Johnson. You belong to the Johnson tribe. We got a brother from Philadelphia belong to the Johnson tribe, right? And he called himself the Prince of Pan-Africanism. He ain't got one family. He ain't got no tribal members. He ain't got... They're tripping our people up with the word tribe. I'm watching them. You may not know the original name of your tribe, beloved. That's why you a Jackson now. That's why you a Simpson now, right? That's why you a Washington now. You didn't forget your tribe. You can't... You know who your big mama is, right? Your big mama know who her big mama is, right? You know who your aunties and uncles, you didn't forget your tribe. The original name for your tribe may be gone. And you're going to forget that anyway, beloved, because you speak English. You know what I mean? And these, as much as they want you to think, everything doesn't convert over when you go from one language to another. It doesn't, beloved. And then when I start to touch on your last names, because we're going to have that conversation eventually. Names that you think come from Europe. Beloved, it's going to blow your mind when I show you that a lot of these names, they don't come from Europe. Many of these names is already here on this land. But it's the word tribe that's throwing our people off. All right, so when we just kind of, because I'm going to read a little more. I want you to, when you start hearing me say tribe, black folks, I'm talking to you because I know you my people. I know what's tripping you up. When you start hearing me say the word tribe, I don't want you to think some... They got you thinking about Mandingos and somebody, you know, some weird Ashanti and Cherokee and all these names. I don't want you to think of no names when you hear tribe. I want you to think about your family. Replace the word tribe with family, all right? Because we're going to go into a working definition of what is a non-recognizable tribe. And we're going to read off the guide. Let me go up to it, right? I'm going to pull it up and put it on the screen so we all can see it and just kick back and chill, right? There's a portion that's going to say, why some trials are not federally recognized. All right, so what the devil is saying in his manuscripts is why some families are not federally recognized. That's the conversion I want you to make. When you hear the word tribe, I want you to think clan. I want you to think kin folks. I want you to think family. And the devil is telling you why some Native American families are not federally recognized. All right, how about that? It says, in at least 14 states, tribal entities are recognized at the state level as having self-government authority outside the federal process. Alabama, Connecticut, Delaware, blah, 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 which is a bunch of states. We're going to skip down a little bit. It is important to note that unlike the limited number of pathways to federal recognition, states have their own unique process for recognizing tribes, or states have their own unique process of recognizing families. The United States Government Accountability Office has identified approximately 400 non-federally recognized tribal entities in the United States. Let's read it again. The United States Accountability Office have identified approximately 400 non-federally recognized families in the United States. Some non-federally recognized families lost their recognition as a result of federal government actions in the 1950s and 60s that terminated government-to-government relationship with Indian families, making them now ineligible to apply to the Bureau of Indian Affairs for recognition. All right, let's stop. You know how I changed that word around a little bit, right? Believe it or not, if I left the word tribe in there, I would have confused a lot of folks. Now, but watch this, though. The devil already told you why your tribe is not federally recognized. He said you lost your recognition as a result of what? His actions as a government, and when? In the 50s and 60s. Did you catch that? He just jumped up and said in the 50s, not even 100 years ago, he just said, your family doesn't count. Your family ties to this land does not count. That's all it has to do with. It has nothing to deal with your genealogy. It has nothing to do with who your family is. It has nothing to do with where you're from. It is, I'm the devil and I said so. That's it. So now, the federally recognized tribes are families that he decided to deal with, and the non-federally recognized families are the families he do not want to deal with. It's just as simple as that. These are the families he's going to do business with. He's going to get them benefits and give them a card, and these are the families he decided not to deal with. Now, it doesn't mean that any family is less than anybody else. He's playing trignology. That's the art of trignology. He put it in his own, he just wrote it down. He just, hey man, we came in the 50s and 60s, that's just it. All right, if we skip down, he gives examples in the same document, beloved. I'm going to give you the link. I'm going to give it to you. In the same document, he's going to give his reasons why, or examples why he say, well, some of these are non-federally recognized families, right? This is why these families are not recognized. And then he's going to give example 1, 2, 3. He's going to go down to like example 5, right? Now, I'm going to let you in on the trick, what he's doing. He plays a color game in the examples. If they were too dark, they lost their federal and state recognition as being a true indeed Native American family. Now, let's talk reality. Beloved, I would not have my people be ignorant. There's no way. It doesn't even, the concept doesn't make sense. There's no way you can lose a family status or identity because it's too much quote unquote mixing in. That, beloved, is a process called trignology. So let me give you an example, right? I'm going to show you how the devil play this game. He gives you two continents, right? You got the American continent, and then you got the African continent, right? All right, now I'm going to show you. I'm going to play a tribal game. This is the word tribe. But I want you to remember, when we hear that word on this podcast, we change that word out for family. Okay. There will never be enough Cherokees, beloved. I don't care how imagine the Cherokee tribe or the Cherokee family in your mind. I don't care how you envision them. There will never be enough Cherokees or Choctaws or Chickasaws or Seminoles that can go across the Atlantic Ocean, right, and mix in with the Ashanti, so much so to the level that the Nigerian government would no longer recognize the Ashantis as a tribe anymore or recognize the Ashantis as a family anymore. It'll never happen. In the same breath, through history, he'll tell you and I, right, in the same breath, that he put a bunch of Ashantis on the boat and a bunch of Igbos on the boat and a bunch of Mandingos on the boat. You know what I'm saying? And he brought them over as a minority group. You know what I mean? He brought them over as a minority group, and when they got off the boat, they started to mix in with the certain Native American tribes or Native American families, and they mixed in so much that they lost their tribal status. That doesn't even make sense. How can a family of people mix in with another family of people so that other family become non-recognizable? He only played that game with us. He only played that game in America. It only works in America. So now, our people, right, what we do, this is what happens subconsciously. What we do is, because we don't belong to a federal recognized family or a state recognized family, we throw away our whole identity of who we are as a people, and then we try to pick up an identity from somewhere across the Atlantic. How could you tell me that you got African? Listen, a brother from America would tell you, a black man, an American Negro, he'd tell you he belonged to an African tribe. When niggas say that, I know they're confused with the word tribe. Tribe don't mean nothing but kin, folks. Tribe don't mean nothing but family. You got an African family? Nigga, you from Philadelphia. How do you have an African family? Who was your African family over there? He started picking up Mandingos and Mandinga. He started getting all this stuff. Some old small head told him in a book. He didn't watch it on a movie. Brother, you ain't. All your family, your tribes is here. I watch you every goddamn year run down south to the Carolina somewhere, to Georgia somewhere, Bama, Mississippi, Louisiana. All your tribal reunions or your family reunions is in this land. Yeah, the devil, he switched up the names to some, not to all. So now you may not know your original tongue. You may not know your original language, but you're still part of your tribe business. You just call yourself Davis now. You got this. You part of the Smith tribe, the Johnson tribe, huh? The Carter tribe. It's no. He's playing word games with you. I have to talk to my Mr. Muhammad said our people need straight talk. We don't get it. If I came on here another way, our people don't get it. And I'm like, yo, beloved, you want to find out who you is, all you got to do is start to study the tribe that does not have any recognition from the federal government, because 9 times out of 10, that's what you're going to find out. That's who your big mama belonged to. They became too dark, or they was already too dark, and he stopped playing the color game, and nah, man, we can't be so naive to think that the devil came to this landmass we call the United States, and every single person looked the same way. There were certain Native Americans that had that straight hair, their high cheekbones, you know what I'm saying, their button nose, and then there was others that had the curly hair with the wide nose, with the big lips. And when explorers got here, they said, man, damn, these folks look like Africans. And then all of a sudden, the ones that looked like Africans just disappeared all of a sudden. And then we got one phenotype left in the whole continent? maybe that's a different story for a different day. Let me go to this guy. I'm going to talk about some examples, and then we just going to kick it. You know what I'm saying? Because it just, we just talking about technology. You know what I mean? When you look at the list, right, and we're still on the guide, there's a list of federally or non-federally recognized tribes, right? The name of one of them is called the Wanapum Tribe, and they're from Washington. And the reason why they're not federally recognized as a tribe, or I should say it, they're not a federally recognized American Indian family, is because they just decided not to deal with the federal government. It's just as simple as that. We ain't gonna deal with the government. We cool. Now, I'm gonna show you how this works, right? The Wanapum Tribe is from Washington. You know what I mean? And then this group may have a migration pattern where they bust up out of there and they go to Arizona, or they move to New Mexico, they move to Texas, they marry a local. The local have children, and then the children have children, and then you know what we be calling the grandkids? The grandkids say, well, I'm Hispanic now. Their whole identity is gone. See, this game that this devil playing, it just doesn't work for... It's not like it's not just tailor-made for our people. He's playing this game with their people, too. You know what I mean? Because, see, when you go through the examples, there's tribes that he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? The Nipmuc Nation out of Massachusetts, that's a tribe. Then, at another example, he's talking about the Narragansett Tribe. That's another, you know, that's another family, right? Then he's talking about the Pamunkey Tribe. That's another tribe. That's another family, right? We know the Pamunkey, that's Chris Brown. That's the tribe that Chris Brown belongs to, the singer, the R&B singer, to do all the dancing and all that. Okay, but dig, what you begin to notice is that a lot of these tribes, these families, don't have any federal recognition. But if you took that tribe and you split them down the middle, half of them is going to be able to be called, or maybe call themselves, I should say, Hispanic. The other half is eventually going to call themselves African American. And the reason why they don't have any federal recognition as a tribe or as a family, there's no particular reason. The devil just jumped up in the 1950s and 60s and said, hey, we did something we just...
Okay, everybody, we back. I hope y'all got something out of that. And we're going to have to move on now. And keep in mind, I want to tell you one more time about the video that I'm going to need you to go and watch. The video is Pre-Columbus Black Nations of America by Kurimayu Ahu. You spell his name Kurimeoahau. All right, let's think for a minute. Now, we know that technology is in effect. We know that. Use common sense for a minute. Let's say that right now in the United States of America, which is a conglomerate of corporations now, we've been still trying to believe in our minds that we are in a country. No, you are being victimized by a conglomerate of corporations masquerading as a country. They have legal and illegal, which has absolutely nothing to do with the law. The law states that you can do anything that you want to do, provided that you do not harm or destroy anyone's property. That's the law. But what does legal and illegal do? Legal says, I will determine how fast you can drive and how fast you can. I will determine for you when to stop at a designated point and when you can go. I will determine when I can come into your home and search it and gather anything that I want to gather And then I can determine for you whether I can put you in prison or whether I can set you free. Now, keep in mind, all of this legal and illegal is going on your land. Not his land, your land. And his biggest threat is you waking up and understanding and actually using the law. Case in point, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Fantastic. My question to you at this point is, when you run into me or other people like me, what does your religion require you to do? If you walking down the road and I'm walking down the road, you coming toward me, I'm coming toward you. What does your religion require you to do when we come face to face, man to man? What does your religion require you to do? If you are a Moor, what does you being a Moor, or me being a Moor, require you to do? If you're a Muslim, or if you any other than you believe you are, what does it require you to do when you come face to face with me? Next case in point. Let's say that all criminals on the continent of North and South America stop committing any crime for 30 days. No crime. Let's say 60 days. No more crime. We're not committing any crime. Let's say 90 days. Nobody in this hemisphere committed a crime. Nobody. You know what's going to happen? The corporation is going to create crime. You know why? Because the powers that be depend on crime in order to feed their families. But they have you thinking, oh, the world is terrible. Oh, it's just so much crime. And I said, well, we need to call upon the corporation to save us from this crime. Why don't you take the time to look up the definition of the word crime? And know for a fact that if there is no crime long enough, they will create crime, because that is how they eat. That's how they feed. That's how they do everything they do. Let's say you are a Democrat or a Republican or whatever political thing that you are. Let's say that nobody in the United States, South America, nowhere else went nowhere and voted for nobody. What you think gonna happen? Well, I'm running for governor. I'm running for state senator. I'm running for sheriff. I'm running for the president of the United States. Well, nobody voted for none of it. So now what you gonna do? Well, we had to go back and rely on the same thing that we have always relied upon. We're gonna use the media. We're going to use the magazines. We're going to use the newspapers. We're going to use everything we got to lead you to believe that you voted us into position to be what we did. But wait a minute. How is that possible? Because we know for a fact that nobody in this hemisphere voted for anybody. So how are you a senator? How are you the president of the United States? How did you become sheriff? How did, do you understand what I'm saying to you? You see where you at? You see what's going on? All right. Now, this is what I want you to do one more time. The title of the video that I need you to look at and go right there to YouTube is Pre-Columbus, Black Nations of America by Kurimayu Ehu, K-U-R-I-M-E-O, and the last name is A-H-A-U. You got it? All right. We're going to take a little, another quick break, and we'll be back because I got some more stuff to tell you about some things. But hold on a minute. Here we go. Hold on. Here we go.
Welcome back to another episode of Because It Matters. I'm your host, Digital Debbie. Happy Black History Month, everybody. And this month, we will be talking about the neglected topics of our beautiful history. Today's topic, we will be talking about the American Aborigines. There were tribes that were already here. And unfortunately, most people still believe that all blacks came from the ships from Africa. So let's talk about some of those statistics. According to PBS.org, only 12.5 million Africans were kidnapped from Africa, but only 10.7 million actually survived. And of that 10.7 million, 388,000 came to North America, and the rest were distributed to South America and the Caribbean. But the first people that were here were the American Aborigines. According to IndigenousAndAmericans.com, the American Aborigines owned 1 million square miles worth of land in the Louisiana Territory, southeastern region of Florida, and the colony of California. In many areas of America, black nations existed way before Christopher Columbus even arrived. Those lands were rightfully the American Aborigines before they were stolen and given to the white settlers. The American Aborigines that were stripped from their land were dumped in Oklahoma. And one of the most historic and sad tragedies was called the Trail of Tears. 40 to 90 Indians were placed there. The point is that the American Aborigines were here, and they were here first. Don't forget to follow Dane Calloway on his YouTube videos on his outstanding and immaculate African-American history. If you have any African-American history ideas or episodes, questions, or concerns, don't forget to email me at debbie@avistaproducts.com. Thank you for watching another episode of Because It Matters. I'm Digital Debbie, and I'll see you next week.
All right, we're back. Now, what I'm going to do now is we're going to take a quick break, and I need a break. And when we come back, then we're going to go. Okay, so I'm dealing with the commercial, and then we'll come right back after the music is off, and then we're going to go on back on down into this thing.
As a secured party and creditor, can you buy a home, a car, and other items you need and want? The answer is yes, and there are documents you use to do just that. Catch my radio podcast at Blog Talk Radio. Go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out the box with your email address that say join our mailing list, and I will send you my free report. You got credit problems? Contact me at TahakaDebtElimination.org. Let's stay in honor and get into the private.
inviting me back. Now, let's deal with this one more time. Okay. We're talking about what does your beliefs, regardless of what your beliefs are, what does it require you to do when you run into your fellow man? What does it require you to do? Okay. Now, what we're talking about this evening is the importance of creating your own curriculum involving knowledge of self, or about knowledge of self. You got children, you got grandchildren, you got great-great-grandchildren. And so what have you taken the time to do to make sure that you leave a legacy for them of their own identity so that they will know who they are? Now, we already know that there are systems in place that will recognize certain families, and certain families they won't. Now we have classifications going on. We have Chinese, we have Japanese, we have Germans, we have Indians, we have Hispanics, we have African Americans, we have all of these labels that's been placed on these people, and they are able to either go here and can do something, or if they go over there, they can't do this because of this, that, and the other. So what we are trying to do today is let you know that what you should be involved in is creating your own college curriculum of sites attached to the truth. Okay, because if you know the truth about a situation, then you can do something about it. But if you are ignorant to the truth, if you are ignorant to the facts, then you have no argument, none whatsoever. The only thing you can be is what they call it, a hot air windbag, spouting out a whole bunch of junk out your mouth. You don't have no facts. You can't tell nobody the last time you read anything, or you even spell the word. So how much intelligence do you have? Why are you out here talking a whole bunch of junk and you know doggone well that you know a doggone thing about nothing at all? Nothing whatsoever. Okay? All right, now I'm going to try a little something else here for a minute. It's not going to last that long because this is a redo on what was supposed to happen Sunday night, but I have technical difficulties, and I can't figure out why I'm having technical difficulties. I got some friends I'm going to call upon, and the text will come down. The only thing I want to know is why. If there's a problem, it can't be a problem with the equipment because the equipment is brand new. If there's someone who's doing something, the only thing I want to know is who's doing it, and we'll do the rest. But anyway, here we go. Y'all hold on a minute, and we will be right back, okay?
Tellingly, these scenes only begin to appear after the arrival of the Mongoloid. After the arrival of the Mongoloid.
After the arrival of the Mongoloid.
Conquest by the Mongoloids would explain why there are no Aborigines in the Americas today. Today. Today.
As long as they were on the reservation, they were Indian. As soon as they left in the reservation, for whatever reason, they became free people of color. Then finally they became African-American, same people. And you could see it in the lifetime of a single individual. Mm-hmm. This journey, it changes in classification. In classification.
In classification.
Welcome to Real Black Johnson, the Foreign Podcast.
This is Big VG on the check-in. Today's conversation, we're going to talk about some history. We're going to talk about the first Americans. We're going to talk about the original Americans. We're going to talk about the Aborigines. And we're just going to have, like, conversation about, like, what direction is this platform going, the Real Black Consciousness Forum podcast? Like, what direction are we going, right? We're going to have that conversation today. And we're going to, of course, you know, we're going to produce a couple of sources. And, you know, like all of our conversations, you can find the sources in the description box, right? You can click on the link. You can read it yourself in its entirety. You know, you can fact check, you know. You know, when you have a conversation about history or whatever, it's always good to get the source from the person. You don't really want to take anybody's word for it. Because, you know, truth be told, the American Negro is in the position that we're in because all we ever did was take folks' word. You know what I'm saying? And then, even with that, my goodness, I mean, talking about taking somebody's word, I mean, we took the devil's word for it. So whatever the devil say, many of us as American Negroes, we just regurgitate it, right? We don't dig in those crates, right? We don't dig in those libraries. We don't go back and get those older, earlier works that writers and explorers talked about. We just don't do it. But you know, today is a new day. We're learning different things. We're reading different things. We're challenging the status quo, right? We just don't take it like, you know, we got a couple of elders still hanging around to these old stories, right? These stories are outdated, but we holding on. But those stories is not going to last long, right? Here on Real Black Consciousness Forum podcast, you know, the direction that we go in is based on the comments. The comments is the engine and the fuel to the machine, right? So dig this, right? You know, going over the comments, there was a brother, and he was a little confused, right? About, he was like, you know, when I listen to more recent conversations, it sounded like it's a little different, you know, than your older conversations. Like, it's almost sound like you're saying the opposite thing. So, of course, we know we're not here to confuse anybody. And with that being said, we're just going to show up a particular position that we have on this platform. Now, here on Real Black Consciousness Forum podcast, we have always taught from day one that the original man, the black man, was in the Americas prior to the slave trade and prior to Columbus even finding this place, right? He found the place with a whole bunch of people on it. Dig that, right? When we say that, what tends to happen is that if you listen to our older conversations, right, we're kind of like, a lot of that is geared toward a community that call themselves, we gave them the label, possibly. We call them the Aboriginal community, right? And these are a group of people that says, they're, you know, they're American Negroes. They say that we was always here, which I could connect with, right? But they do something a little different. They take a pivot. And they say that they are the original Indians. And when they say they are the original Indians, they do that in terms of like great Indian nations. So our people begin to call themselves Cherokee and Choctaw and Chickasaw and Cheyenne and Lakota and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This is what our people was doing. Now, in a sense, it's like, you know, as we used to say on older conversations, it's looked like, you know, it's the Red Indian train is on the move. And it's a bunch of Negroes, American Negroes, they're trying to jump on that train. They're not doing that because this is something to do. What's actually happened is that, you know, you got some voices, some guys, they're like YouTube famous, right? It's a Callaway guy. That's a guy we call Miho here, right? And there's a few others, and they say things such as, when I say they, I mean the Aboriginal community, saying things like, the African slave trade never existed, it never happened, right? They say things like that. They say things like, you know, Big Mama said she was Indian, right? They say things like that. They say things like, what else do these guys say? They do this. It's like they do what I call picture scholarship, too. They kind of match up these pictures, right, with these ancient, like, monuments. But check it out. At the end of it all, this is what's happening. In doing so, it's kind of like our people, they really don't explain to our people their position in this territory in the West that we call the Americas, right? So you can see, like, maybe it's like maybe 450, maybe 500 red Indian tribes. And if you tell our people that they're Indian and you don't do it properly, they will think that they are the real Indian from a red Indian nation. So now you got American Negroes saying they're the original Cherokee. They're the original Choctaw. They're the original blase, 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 right? And then while they're doing that, they're kind of like, throwing some cold water on the fact that they're mixed with the African. You see what I'm saying? So they minimize the African part of them, and they maximize what I would consider like the red nation, but they're doing it out of air almost. So if you listen to our older conversations, what we do, we try to bring the balance to, because that's what's going on, right? The truth be told, though, is that here on Real Black Consciousness Forum Podcast, we stand on and we show and prove that when it comes to the West, right, the American Negro is found in I'm talking about in large numbers, Central America, South America, and the islands, right? When we talk about the territory that we call the United States, it's California and Florida. Everywhere else is like small pockets, right? We could be found in the Carolinas. We can come all the way down through from Virginia to the Carolinas to Alabama, Tennessee, and then you got Mississippi, Louisiana. And then also, we're going to speak on later about Negroes in Canada. But we're talking about small pockets of people. Now, the thing about it when I say small pockets is that, dig this. The territory that we call the United States was never heavily populated by red people neither. This whole, that's the kind of like the issue I got with Jack Forbes. Like, he's a guy, he's a scholar. But he kind of paints this picture like there's millions and millions of people here. And there never was millions and millions of people in the territory that we call the United States. It just wasn't so, right? There were always pockets of people that was here. So how I see these Aboriginal guys is this. This is kind of like what they do that we totally disagree with on this platform. See, the American Negro was always here. You can't be a Cherokee, in my estimate. You can't be a Choctaw, in my estimate. You can't be none of these red Indian tribes, in my estimate, because you, as the American Negro, was already here before they got here. So how did you become a Cherokee when you was here before them? So in all transparency, like if you listen to we kind of clown these guys a little bit. Well, we clown them a little bit. Like, yo, they running around saying the slave trade never happened, and they talking about, I'm the real Choctaw. And I'm like, yo, you're going from one oppressor to another oppressor. Yo, check this out. Let me say it this way, right? There was a part in our development as American Negroes when we were Christians, right? And I want to put a time on it. So I'm going to say, let's just say the early 1920s, right? The bulk of our people was converted to Christians, which is a Jewish religion, right? So to some respect, as an American Negro, if your religion is Christianity, you're underneath Jews. You may not see it that way, but you're underneath Jews, right? I don't care what color you make the Jews. You can do that whenever you want to do that. That's your business. But you underneath Jews, right? Then came like a deeper sense of black consciousness, right? And it started to arise after the 1920s. And we wanted to be closer to self. We wanted to be closer to like it was a blackness kind of thing. It was a opening movement that we was kind of like spiritually and soulfully we're changing. In this change, many of our people became Muslims, right? Because we felt as Islam was our truer self, right? Islam is our truer self. And then before you know it, we start, you know, bumping our head on the ground five times a day. We start praying to Mecca, you know what I'm saying? We start visiting Mecca. And what actually happened was we went from following these Jewish devils to running behind these Arab devils. And we feel like when we was running behind these Arab devils, we was closer to ourselves. But when you see our people jump from Judaism or Christianity to Arabism or Mohammedism, that's pretty much what we was doing. And we felt like we was being closer to ourselves. In a sense, that's how I feel like the Aboriginal community is doing. They're not teaching our people that you were here before these Cherokees ever came around. They're not doing that. They're kind of doing something different. They got a different song and dance. Here on Real Black Consciousness Forum podcast, we teach this like, yo, see, the American Negro, if you look at it in a sense, the black man is almost the last person here in the United States, right? It's a weird way we put it, though, because, see, first of all, when we talk about the Southeast Territory of the United States, and we're going to touch on Ohio today as well, the Midwest. See, the people that build the mounds, we call them mound builders. There's a sect of us with knowledge of self that when we talk about pre-Columbian American Negroes, when we use the term mound builders. We are the people that built the mounds. That separates you from trying to be a person of a red Indian nation. Because even in their own tribal testimony, I don't care if they're Chickasaw or they're Cherokees or they Choctaw, they admit they did not build those mounds. They admit that it was another race of people that built those mounds already. When they got to these territories, those mounds was already there. These tombs was already there. These ancient relics was already there. They had nothing to do with it. They admit to that in their own tradition. What we are saying is that our people was the ones that was already here. That's it. That rubs a lot of our Afrocentric brothers the wrong way because they got this thing in their head. They want everybody to be from Africa, right? It's like a very weird dynamic when it comes to them. Like everybody that's black, they got the same paint job as the African had to somehow come from Africa. But see, the original man, as the messenger taught us, see, the original man, see, we don't have a birth record. You can't put a date on us. You can't put a territory on us. We're the original people of the planet. We was always here. So it's kind of weird, and I use this example often. When it talks, you know, when it comes to, like, these Afrocentric guys, they do what we call, like, the thin air approach. So when we talk about the American Negro, he had to come from somewhere. He had to migrate from Africa there because he couldn't just always be here. So we can show him, you know, we can show and prove that archaeologists can date back Negro skulls for thousands of years in Brazil. And then, you know, the Afrocentric guys say, well, he came from Africa. And then we can say, well, what about the Negroes in Solomon Island? So, well, he came from Africa. You say, well, what about the Negroes, the Aboriginals in Australia? Oh, well, he came from Africa. They got this little thing. They make everybody from Africa. And then they say, well, you know, life started in Africa. And then in the very same breath, they tell you about taking an ancestry test. And I'm like, well, beloved, if everybody comes from Africa, what are you running around taking ancestry tests? We're going to all go back to Africa, right? So that means that the German is African. You know, that the Swedish guy is from African. The Arab is really African. The Chinese guy is really African. No, they don't do that. They just put the African label on the people that got the same paint job as the African. But it's kind of unique because, see, the African Negro can come out of thin air. He don't have no origin. He just always was here. So I guess it's something about the water, the air, I don't know. It's something about that landmass that it can just produce the Negro out of thin air, the African Negro out of thin air. But the American, it's something about, I guess the air is different over here in the Americas. It just can't produce the Negro out of thin air, or Solomon Islands, or Australia, or wherever we are, right? When we talk about the Americas, though, many of us with knowledge of self, and this is different than the Aboriginals, we don't say that the American Negro was the only people here in the territory that we call the United States. There was never a landmass. There's never going to be a continent with one kind of people on it.
even when the explorers got here, when they talked about and they used the term Indian, they said the Indians came in all shades, yellow, brown, red, and black. We skip and overlook the black part all the time. No matter where he went, North America, South America, we skip the fact that there was Negroes here. We just overlook it. Not us. But this is how many of our Afrocentric brothers do. Right? So that's what's kind of going on in our earlier conversations up until now. Now we have more of a pivot because we was underneath the impression that all American Negroes knew there was no such thing as 100 million Africans coming over here on the slave trade. We just like took that for granted. So, you know, of course, this conversations that we have on this platform, it's geared by the comments. So we're just looking at the comments and we're like, yo, there's no way our people believe that now. So now this is the part of history that we're on. We talk about Negroes being in the Americas prior to the slave trade because the way it works when you do the knowledge, right, sound and right reasoning, we are a mixture of people, the American Negro. So the American Negro was always here, and then we have a slave trade that happens later. So the slave trade brought two different kind of groups here. It brought the East Indian here, and it brought the African here. But the way that they was pushing the slave codes on our people is that we couldn't mix with the so-called devil. We couldn't do it. We had to mix with other people of color. We was all in the melting pot together. So, you know, I can procreate with a Mexican or a red Indian or another American Negro or an African or East Indian. It didn't matter because we was all in the same melting pot together. All in the same mixing pot if you form north, right? That's going to bring out a new species. So this is how I use that. I kind of flip it. I say, yo, the black man was technically the last person here, but at the same time, we was the first person here because we're new now. We're like gumbo now. So if aboriginals come like, oh, man, you're original, and they start naming tribes, brother, you know, or sister, you know, even the elders always taught us that the Negro lost the knowledge of himself, of our religion. We stripped of our, you know, our native tongue. We stripped of the knowledge of self. That only applies to the American Negro. Everybody else know who they are. The African know who he is. He come over, he already know. He ain't trying to figure nothing out. The red man know who he is. The Mexican know who they is. And we're going to have a conversation about the origin of the Mexican because it's not what you think, but that's going to come later. Everybody know who they are. They've never been stripped of anything, but the American Negro, he's confused. Even our brothers in the Caribbean, they know who they are.
Yeah. This is what we do here. This is telling you about the Garifuna people, how they came. They are comprised of three cultures put together.
Okay.
The Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
The Arawak Indian, and the African.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, these Garifuna people are the pre-Columbus African, before the slave trade began.
The islanders. That is.
Who are the Caribs?
And they're from South America, right? Or like the Guyanas.
Yeah.
The Guyanas.
Well, who are they?
Not sure.
You have to do your history, friend.
Yeah.
Where do you think the black people here come from?
I'm not sure. It's either like slave ship or they came from Africa, right? What do you think?
We've never been Africa.
Never. Yeah, they don't really stay on...
We're not really African. We are the Caribs.
Right.
We are the Caribs.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors are the Caribs. We manned this. We controlled this. We inhabited this.
Yeah.
The sea was named for us, the Caribbean. We are the Caribs. The Africans came after. The Africans came... After.
The Africans came after.
But The Afrocentric guys, they're very unique because what they do is when you start to learn about yourself, they act as an overseer to tell you where you're from. And they only tell you where you're from because you got the same paint job as them. So they give you this whole song and dance that you got an African ancestry. And beloved, believe me when I tell you, 99.9% of the time, when you see an American Negro talking about an African ancestry, he cannot point out anybody in his line that's from Africa. Not one single person, not one. America is his ancestral homeland, him or her. But it's just the weirdest thing. Like, it's weird, man. You just can't. It's weird. Now, the reason why that we accept the slave trade is because, first of all, our big mamas can remember when they was here, Africans coming over and working on the plantation with them. That's number one. Number two, the slave trade is well documented. It's well documented. Nobody ain't faking up this stuff, you know. And even here, we talk about the essential contract, right? So it's well documented about the slave trade. That's number two. Number three is this, right? Check this out. You know, being that it's well documented, being that many of our big mamas can remember the African coming over, the numbers that they give us, it's not mathematically possible for that to happen. You know, our brother W.B. Du Bois was the first one to go on record to provide a number. We know where he got that number from, right? He got that number. He didn't get that number from his big mama or somebody else. That we're going to one day call out the name of the person that gave him that number. And he ran around and touted him, W.B. Du Bois, that 100 million Africans came over here on the slave trade, right? Even him telling you that and me that, he couldn't name one person in his line that came from Africa. It's like a reoccurring thing. The American Negro was telling other American Negroes that came from Africa. But the one that's telling you that, he can't point no African out of his family. See, that's the weird dynamic. And then you get another guy named Dr. Henry Clark. So if you go through the comments, you have guys on our platform, they're commenting about every single statement that we make. But nobody says nothing about how you go from 100 million Africans to a guy named Professor Henry Gates that all of a sudden he said it was 12 million. Nobody never comments on how did you miscount 88 million people. They're commenting about the intro, how you bring this. Oh, you made this. Anything that's opinionated that I make, because this is a very opinionated platform, we having a conversation. They have something to say about that part. When we start talking about the documents and we're reading, they don't complain about the sources. They don't complain about W.B. Du Bois telling our people that 100 million Africans came over. They say nothing about that. They only want to point out when I start being opinionated because we just have a conversation. And in a conversation, we all have our opinions. But let's talk about the 100 million Africans that came over. If we're going to drop a comment, let's talk about that. Let's not skip over everything else. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about it. How did you go from 100 million to 12? Like, how does that happen? Nobody says nothing about a miscounting of 88 million people. Let's stop and think about that. How can you miscount 88 million people? They never want to, these Afrocentric guys never want to talk about that. They want to make a comment about everything else we talk about but that. They skip that part every video. And we keep talking about it to somebody. Let's talk about it. We're going to keep talking about it to somebody. Address it. Nobody never addresses, right? But maybe that's a different story for a different day. Today, folks, we're going to talk about the congressional record, and it's going to be the proceedings and debates. This is the 53rd Congress, the second session. This was produced in 1894, right? And we're just going to read a portion of it. Of course, we're going to put the link in the description box. But we're going to start right at page 7687. And we're going to go down to, let's say, the second paragraph, right? And they're talking about the skulls that's found in the Americas. We're going to go up one paragraph, right? In a sense, we're going to start where it says, "We are therefore quite confident that our material, so carefully collected and thoughtfully weighed, would not be cast aside in its usurp by the rash statements of hastily and incompetent investigators. While there should be so much speculation and uncertainty concerning the life of our Aborigines is inexplicable to us, no question of equal importance could have been more easily determined have the early writers given as much impatience to Mound exploration as is given at this present time, right? So right off the bat, this is a congressional record, right? So we're talking about, you know, we're talking about the highest office of the land. We're talking about those that move and shake what happens in the country. This is a congressional record, and they're having a conversation about the people of the Americas. And then they're talking about the mound builders and how they've been doing their research on it. And what they did was they're saying, yo, you know, we kind of put the people before our investigation. The people they're talking about is the Red Indians, right? That's who they're talking about. But we're going to go down to the next paragraph, and then we're going to skip the one in the middle. Conclusions. The skeletons of the brachycephalic people in the collection and examined from the Great and Little Miami Valleys and those of Scioto in Ohio suggest that they were strong and well-built. Let's skip down to the next paragraph. No skeletons of gigantic size were discovered, and there was but little doubt that the progenitors of the American race were in the height subject to the same variations in structure, which are to be remarked among our recent tribes. Okay, let's stop. Let's build on that. So there was like this rumor that when you start looking at the mounds and everything like that, they were built by giants. Like, oh, some giants, people, some giants, you know.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And I have a few more questions to ask. And the first question that I have to ask is, you know that you get 24 hours in a day. You get the sunshine and the rain. My suggestion to you is this. If you do right by you, that's the first thing. Do right by you. If you don't have any knowledge of self, if you do not have any knowledge of self, my question to you is, how is it humanly possible for you to guide anybody anywhere? Case in point, my brother Martin Luther King, he started out, he was doing this, that, and the other. He was trying to lead his people somewhere. But smack dab in the middle of midstream, he said, I feel that I'm leading my people into a burning house. Now, I'm not blaming him for that. Everybody on the planet have 24 hours in a day. You got the sunshine, you got the rain, you got the summer, winter, fall, you got the tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, and all of that. So what are you doing on a daily basis to promote life? What are you doing? And keep in mind, I already told you, if you're going to promote life, what kind of life are you going to promote where you at? You know, what are you doing about you first? See, I cannot love you until I love myself first. That's just the way it is. I cannot be accused of doing something for me when I should have done it for you first. Can't do that. I cannot allow and survive at the same time. I cannot allow a problem that you have to cause a mortuary crisis in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Okay, let's take a look at it from a bigger perspective. The United States of America Corporation told you, we are in a pandemic. We have the COVID-19. It's a pandemic. People dying. We got 100,000 people died in Oregon. We got 15,300 people died in North Carolina. We got another 300 just died in Texas. This thing is really, really, really getting out of hand. Okay, so they say we have a pandemic. But I have a question. If we are in a pandemic as a result of COVID-19 that has just come out the clear blue sky, you know, we're in a pandemic. All right. Well, the first thing to do is look up the definition of the word pandemic and look at every illustration of the word pandemic so you can see exactly what a pandemic is. We didn't do that. Then I have questions. If we are in a pandemic, where is it that when I ride down the street and I look at all the cemeteries that's there today that were there yesterday and last week and the week before that and the month before that and the month and the year and the year and the year all before that, why do I not see any activity going on? I didn't see any activity yesterday. I didn't see any activity today and the day after and the week after and the week after that. But you say we're in a pandemic. Everybody supposed to be panicking. So I go outside and I look around. And if we're in a pandemic, then there should be rescue units and sirens running up and down the street all day long. One day. So what I took the liberty of doing is calling some friends of mine across the United States, and I told them, this is what I need you to do. I need you to contact the most prominent morticians in your city where you live and ask them the question, since the pandemic has struck, has your business increased? Every last one of them told me no. In fact, business done drop. You know, we ain't nothing going on around here. I said, okay. So then we took the liberty of going to the hospitals because the hospitals should be full of people dying from a pandemic. But when we went to the hospitals, we discovered nobody ain't there. There's nobody. I said, well, it's got to be because we are in a pandemic, and the media is telling us that we got all these people dying all over the United States as a result of the pandemic, and you need to get a vaccine. Okay, well, hold on with the vaccine a minute because I'm still working on the pandemic. We're going to get to you in a minute. But just hold on. We're going to get to that. But let me deal with the pandemic for a minute. And then, lo and behold, we had a sister smack dab in the middle of the media's broadcast that all these hundreds of people are dying all across the United States from a pandemic. She said that she went to a clinic to get a test for COVID-19. But when she got to the clinic, the entire clinic was filled with people trying to get a test for COVID-19. She signed the book because you have to sign your way in. You have to put your email address there. You got to put your phone number there, and then we'll call you when it's your time to be tested for COVID-19, which is tied to what? A global pandemic. Okay, now, the sister, she didn't have time to wait because it was so many people in there. It was so many people, she had time to wait. So what she was forced to do was leave the clinic. But lo and behold, she got an email followed up by a phone call that said, you have been tested positive for COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go on down into the broadcast, so hold your hat, let's roll.
To watch all of my exclusive content not featured here on my channel, log on to my website at imjustheretomakeyouthink.com/films. Today's society of America, the descendants of so-called American slaves have been advocating for reparations from the government ever since the tail end of the Civil War in 1865. But the government chose to ignore their demands as if they hold no validity when publicly verifiable evidence proves it to be true. One example is Union Major General William Sherman, issuing Special Field Order No. 15 on January 16, 1865, which ordered that land confiscated from Confederate state landowners be divided up into 40-acre portions and then distributed to newly emancipated Negro families, similar to how the government assisted incoming foreigners from other continents of the world ever since the 1840s. But this order was immediately eradicated once President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated on April 14, 1865, and Andrew Johnson was then elevated as the new U.S. president. Then all of that land was given to foreigners from other parts of the world instead, that just so happened to be welcomed here as immigrants in America that were hoping to ultimately undergo the process of gaining citizenship status with the federal government by way of being employed and obeying all government national laws, bills, statutes, and contracts. Now, this issue was brought to the attention of Congress ever since by numerous men and women who knew that they were entitled to their lands and demanded that pensions should also be included for their successful works, which was literally creating, building, and cultivating America from the ground up into what it is today. And that's not an exaggeration. Year after year, this issue was brushed to the side by the government, and each presidential administration that moves into the White House continuously ignores it, whether Democrat or Republican. In the year 1989, which was 124 years after Special Field Order No. 15 was issued, Representative John Conyers introduced a bill labeled H.R. 40. And if this bill was passed, it would only allow for the creation of a study commission to study slavery and discrimination in the United States, and then study potential reparation proposals for restitution. And just this bill alone is being ignored. Yep, a study into the issues surrounding the aftermath of early unjust labor in the United States is being ignored still to this very day by the government. This indicates that the government does not care about biting the hands that fed them historically. But when it comes to foreigners or immigrants seeking asylum in the U.S., the government then jumps to their every need. And we are still seeing examples of this form of favoritism displayed by the government today. For example, just this past October of 2021, Joe Biden's administration, the Justice Department, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Department of Homeland Security were reportedly planning to give $450,000 to each adult and child of immigrant families who were separated at the border under the Trump administration. According to reports from the Wall Street Journal, the payments would be made to settle lawsuits brought by the American Civil Liberties Union, representing those families, in which they were originally asking for $3.4 million per family, but Biden's administration countered with a $450,000 per person payout. Attorney for the ACLU said in a statement that, quote, "The Biden administration is correct to provide relief to the children and families affected by the government's horrific practice of family separation. The suffering is something they will always live with, and it is a deep moral stain on our country. We need to make it right. And this includes not simply any monetary support, but also a path to remain here. This is what is right and fair." End quote. Now,
okay. I have some questions for you now. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to cross the Atlantic and let's go up into North Africa in a place called Egypt. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bring up photographs of the North African Egyptians. The African Egyptians that built the pyramids in North Africa. I want you to notice something. Now, look at the crowns that they have upon their heads. Some of the crowns that you see them have on their head have the falcon on it. My question to you is, where on earth throughout the history of the whole world is the falcon native? You will discover that the falcon is only native to where? The Americas. Now, I want you to go a little bit further. When you see the eagle, from where on the planet eagle native? The Americas. Now, when you see corn, where is corn native? It is only native to the Americas. You see where I'm going with that? Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Y'all hold on a minute.
Do you? are now tuned in to DM3 Entertainment. Let's talk about it. Hey, don't forget to hit that like and that subscribe. Let's go. What's up, YouTube? I'm back with another one. And as y'all know, on my channel, I'm talking about all type of stuff. You know, today what I'm talking about is who are we? For the last 40 years, you know, you've been hearing terms like African American, black, you know, having the concept of all black people come from Africa who live in America. And even today, we have this new concept called FBA, Foundational Black Americans. Now, even with the Foundational Black Americans, I say that we're going in the right direction, but we just haven't got there yet. For those, and I say there yet, meaning the masses of people who consider themselves black or African American. Because the truth of the matter is, we are the original inhabitants, our ancestors are the original inhabitants of America. Especially when it comes to the islands, especially when it comes to the East Coast and the southern parts of America, we were the original people. And as you can see in this picture here, it was a picture taken back, shown back in 1798 in Britain Museum, showing the difference between the African and the native indigenous inhabitants of America. As you see, they both look very similar. So this is where you see a lot of the confusion that we have today, where you hear people all the time talking about, we from Africa, our ancestors are African, the motherland, Africa. Well, in actuality, the planet Earth has had melanated people all over the world. And we are not always ancestors straight from Africa. There are melanated people throughout the world, as I said. But especially in America, on the East Coast of America, in the southern regions of America, there were lots of melanated, dark skin, brown skin, copper-colored Americans here already. So I wanted to show that, and I want to give you some videos and talks real quick about that. And before we get into it, I'm going to give you this little clip before I give you another clip having to do with what you tell a person who always thinks they're African when they're in actuality a true American. Here we go.
All right, man.
You talk more shit than a little bit. Back to Mother Africa. That's bullshit. Without question, we are all black Americans. You do not know a goddamn thing about Africa. I am from Detroit, Motown. So you can watch Tootsie your monkey ass back to Africa if you want to.
Yes, I had to show you that video real quick. But before you watch Tootsie your black ass back to Africa, what you need to do is find out through your family and do the research of where you come from. Because as you see in this video right here, it has captions saying to the visitors in the southern, in the south, the physical characteristics of many Negro slaves bore witness to their Indian origin, right? And then another one has to do, it says most blacks in America are indigenous or descendants from the First Nations peoples, meaning that we were here. Give you an idea, just quick, just think about it. You all know about the root story, but what if it went like this? When the colonizers came here, they warred with the tribes that were already here. And when when the tribes lost, they kidnapped and took the children and took the women and relocated them to places where they would think they were in a new land, but they were actually still here in America. So those are like some of the things that people need to start to think about instead of being taught all of these things that we learned growing up in the last 40 years. I woke up a long time ago because I started, you know, I stumbled across a young man that you all probably have heard of before, Dane Calloway. And if you look at some of Dane's old videos, he used to say African American until he started doing his research and finding out that we are really the indigenous Americans. So what I want to do is show you this quick video of how Dane gave some evidence and proof, or even made you think and wake up, which I did. I woke up and I started realizing, and I started asking family members about the history of our family, and I come to find out that my family are indigenous or Indian people out of Boston, Massachusetts. So without further ado, I'm going to let y'all check out Dane's video, then I'll be right back with you. Let's go. Sit down. Get your popcorn. Let's go. While speaking at a formal gathering somewhere off the grid at a discreet location, just after his return from crossing the waters, Malcolm X revealed some very vital, unconventional details on what Negroes, or rather African Americans, were truly considered to be as a nationality of race prior to being called or labeled a Negro.
Aborigine, which means what? Black folks. You never find a white aborigine. Aborigines are called natives, or they're always dark-skinned people. You and I are aborigines, but you don't let them be called an aborigine.
Malcolm X stated that the rock landed on us after he returned across the waters because he learned new things. He learned that the rock had truly landed on us and that we were from these lands. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. also stated in his I Have a Dream speech that we are held in exile in our own homeland.
The Negro is still languished in the corners of American society. Finds himself in exile in his own land.
Now, we have a lot of scholars out there, and individuals are missing the point. How can you be held in exile in your own homeland without it being your own homeland? The tens of millions of black Americans, or rather Indians, who disappeared in 1492 did not all die in the Holocaust inflicted within America. Hundreds of thousands were shipped to Europe and Africa as Indian slaves. The whole slave trade story was given to all of us in reverse. A mass colony of Africans were not shipped from Africa to America. The truth is that black Indians were shipped from America to Europe. They were then shipped from Spain to Africa as commodity for African resources. These black Indians, now mistaken as African Americans, were shipped back to America and classified as African slaves. This part of our history is what the school systems fail to mention in history programs. The American Society was an organization formed in 1816 with the purpose of transporting free African Americans, or rather Indian slaves, classified as Negroes back then, from the United States to settle on the west coast of Africa. During the decades, the Society operated and transported more than 12,000 people to Africa, and the African nation of Liberia was founded. The term African American to refer to all black people was endorsed only since 1988, but was against the desires of the majority of black people. In fact, the term was endorsed by only five people, including Reverend Jesse Jackson and Ramona Edlin, leading the charge as a result of a gathering called the African American Summit, without the input of the majority of black people. Author Avis J. Smith went to the district court in Washington, D.C. to stand against this term, as well as against the notion that a small group of powerful individuals should be able to compel the masses into adopting it. The systematic destruction of the Native Americans, or rather Native Indigenous Aborigine people, and their way of life was not only one of recorded history's greatest tragedies, but as with the slave trade, deeply spiritually wounding to all involved. The utter decimation of their culture is one of the most shameful aspects of history. The extent of the damage still being downplayed and denied entry into textbooks and history lessons to this day. I'm just here to make you think.
Now, hopefully, the video that I just shared with you from Dane Calloway has got you now thinking. And as you see in this image before you, in the 14th to the 17th century, an Indian image was just what you see in the little doll. But then from the 18th century to the 21st century, you now believe an Indian to look like you see in Hollywood. And these are the images, and these are the type of brainwashing that they have been doing for centuries now about our people. And as y'all notice on the video, it said that only five people came up with this term of African-American, connecting the copper-colored people to the continent of Africa. And generation after generation now has forgotten that we are the original indigenous people of America. And as you read or pause and look at the video at top, you can slowly read and see what it says. Now we move on here, and a book that was written by Booker T. Washington, The Story of the Negro, it shows and says as follows. In his book on page 131, Booker T. Washington says, "I venture to say that the amount of Indian blood in the American Negro is very much larger than anyone who has not investigated the subject would be."
All right. Well, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And I have a few more questions. Okay, so we asked a question about the pandemic. Now, my next question to you is, okay, so if the land that we are all upon, don't you think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you think that if you call yourself a man or a woman, don't you think that you should know everything that you could possibly know about where you are? Or do you think that, well, it's not that important and things are just the way they are, that's just it, and, you know, we just need to just sit still and just let things just unravel as they are, and Jesus, God, and Muhammad, and a few others are in charge of how things are going and this, that, and the other. Is that what you say? When are you going to think about what you think? After all, aren't you born with a brain inside of your skull? What makes you think that because you are born with a brain in your skull that you're supposed to lend your thinking over to somebody else to think for you and tell you and guide you where you're supposed to go? Why don't you do your own thinking for your own self, being that the brain is attached to you? After all, now, you have to admit that your blood is inside of your body. Your bones are inside of your body. Your brain is inside of your skull. Your tongue is inside of your mouth. Your feet are attached to your body. Your muscles are located inside of your body. So where do you get the notion from that you need to lend your brain, your body, your blood, your muscles, your bones, your mind to somebody else to think for you that you don't even know? Where do you get the notion that what we need to do is we need to go to a doctor? Well, if you're not well and you need to go to the doctor, well, my question to you is, if you are in that position, what have you done about you? What have you done about what you know for a fact that you got from your own ancestors about you? What did your ancestors do? What did your ancestors tell you when you exhibited symptoms of constipation? What did your ancestors do? Did they take you to somebody else to do something about you? Or did they do something for you, for you, right where they are, right where you were? Which one? Now, we have people who think in their brains that what I have during this life makes me more than what I am. And we still have people who think that what I know makes me better than you. Isn't that amazing? It is the most amazing thing that I ever seen in my life, where you think that because of what I have in my possession and that I know for a fact and everybody around me knows for a fact makes me more intelligent than you. The most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my life. It is extraordinary. This thing here, I have to put that out there because I experience it on a regular basis, and I am amazed because let's say that you ain't nothing, you ain't never been nothing. Everybody in the community know that you a dummy. You ain't never had nothing. You don't even exhibit the appearance that you will ever have anything. But lo and behold, out of the clear blue sky, you inherit something. And all of a sudden, now you are an authority on everything. But everything that's coming out your mouth don't make no damn sense. Excuse me, I don't even like cussing, but I'm trying to tell you what I'm looking at. You ain't never been fine. You ain't never been cute. You ain't never been pretty. You ain't never been handsome. But all of a sudden, because you inherited $20,000, now that increased your intelligence. Amazing. This is the most miraculous thing I ever seen in my life. You specialize in boxing. You specialize in football. You specialize in basketball. You specialize in golf. But when put on a national forum, and the question comes to you about how do you feel about what's going on in Nicaragua, you begin to comment. When you know doggone well, you don't know a about what's going on in Nicaragua. But there you are. Now, the rest of the world is looking at you. Oh, I can't wait for him to hear his opinion about why you waiting on that opinion when you know doggone well. He can't spell Nicaragua. Amazing. This thing never ceased to amaze me. This is the most miraculous thing I ever seen on the planet in my life. Now I'm taking a quick break, and we're going to deal with a few more things here right now. And let's see now. Here we go. Let's deal with this particular piece right here.
Dane Calloway says 98% of all people who we call African-American are in fact Native and had their origin here.
And Columbus himself sent at least 3,000 and possibly as many as 6,000 or more Native American slaves to Europe. This begins as early as 1493. On his return voyage, he takes about two dozen Native Americans to Portugal and Spain. In the subsequent voyages, many, many more are sent. Men and women. Now, he intends to sell them by the thousands, not only in Spain, but he mentions the Azores, the Canary Islands, the Cape Verde Islands off, the west coast of Africa, as well as in Portugal and Spain and elsewhere. So even before there are any appreciable number of African slaves being sent to the Americas, there are Native American slaves being sent to Europe, principally probably ending up in Lisbon and Seville, or Sevilla, in southern Spain, but also being transshipped to Valencia and many other cities. Now, at the same time that that's happening, there are large numbers of African slaves being sent northward to the same cities.
One of the things that Dane Calloway says, and others, is that we are not Africans, right?
Right.
In fact, he even says, if you prove that you are an African, I will go away. Well,